Thank you, John. Greetings, everyone. I wanted to say a few words on one of the big picture achievements.
Guys, we're not coming through. But I'm getting, he's basically saying there's no sound coming through. We're not on mute here, anything, Chris?
No.
And we've just been speaking with the
operator.
Yes, we can hear you just now.
We've just come on, have we?
Yeah, just now.
Okay.
Take it from the top, John.
We'll take it from the top. Apologies.
Thank you.
Many thanks, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, depending on where you're based. Thank you for joining us on this call to review our first half results. Together with me on the call from Dubai today are Bob Diamond and Ashish Thakkar, our co-founders, Arena McDonald, our CFO, Chiriok Pala, our Chief Digital Officer, and JP Crutchley, our Head of Investor Relations. Before we begin, I'd like to draw your attention, as we usually do, to the disclaimer on page one, which I'm going to take as read and acknowledged. Page two sets out the agenda for the call. We're going to run through the short presentation and then open up the lines for questions. First, Bob and Ashish will say a few words. I'll then give you some thoughts around our performance year to date. Hand over to our CFO, Arena, to summarize the detailed financials for the first half. I'll then ask Chitty, who's a new participant here, to say a few words on what we're doing in the digital space, an area we're hugely excited about. And then I'll say a few words about what we're doing in the markets area, where we also see tons of potential. So with that, let me hand over to Ashish.
Thank you, John. Greetings, everybody. I wanted to say a few words on one of the big picture achievements of the half, and that is the acquisitions that we have completed. As you know, we completed two acquisitions, BPR in Rwanda back in January and FBZ in Zambia in June. The latter was a particularly challenging one for the team to get over the line, but we got it done. Two deals closed and one fully integrated in the first half, which is truly phenomenal. Both Bob and I were in Kigali for the big brand relaunch for our Rwandan business earlier this year. And what was really important is that not only was the BPR brand brought up to date, but increasingly, the part of Atlas Mara linkage is having huge brand resonance. This isn't just touchy-feeling stuff. This is real. As the team will tell you, this has proper bottom-line impact through lower funding costs and bigger ticket and deposit sizes. Real impact. Since that relaunch, the team in Rwanda have done an incredible job on integration, which is now complete, well ahead of schedule that we had planned. The learning from that is already being implemented in Zambia, where we are also hugely excited about the opportunity from increased scale now that we are the largest bank by branches in that country. I will now hand over to my partner.
Thank you, Ashish. I have been here with John, Arena, and the team all week. And I wanted to put a little bit of context around why I am so confident given the challenges that we face in the environment and the challenges we face in the share price. One of the things I want to do is just set the context for the very interesting transition we are going through in Atlas Mara from a firm that's buying and protecting banks to an Atlas Mara that is getting growth from those institutions. And nothing is, there's no fine point of transition. But in 2015 and 2016, I will tell you that 100% of our time was focused on buying banks and protecting banks. We haven't moved any of them truly into the growth phase yet. And in that context, we completed 8 acquisitions and 2 this year. I know Ashish has just gone through it, but think about the environment that we've been operating in 2016 with the headwinds. To have 2 acquisitions closed, one of them fully integrated and operating as one firm, is extraordinary and exactly the kind of things we expect from our team. Once we do those acquisitions, the playbook is very simple. Build a bank with high performance, results-oriented, highly focused culture with top quality talent at the management team and down closer to the clients. And that means improve risk management, improve governance, improve processes and control. It means building brand. It means executing a funding strategy to support the growth that's going to come, to reduce funding costs, to improve technology platforms, to build new technology platforms, and to cut costs. Every single acquisition we make goes through quite extensive restructuring. But as we look forward to 2017 and 2018, we'll still be doing acquisitions. We'll still have to protect them, but we'll also be seeing the growth phase in many of the banks that we have been buying and protecting in 2015 and 2016, and this is really, really important. The economic headwinds of the last 16 to 18 months have been challenging. Commodity prices, much weaker currencies versus the dollar, European banks pulling out of sub-Saharan Africa trade finance and lending. But at least two of those economic headwinds I know are going to become tailwinds over a period of time. Certainly the weaker currencies are going to provide stimulus to many of the economies where we operate, and the void left by the European banks pulling completely out of the lending markets in sub-Saharan Africa, particularly trade finance, are creating huge opportunities for us to improve our funding costs and to gain clients. We will definitely be looking for continued acquisitions. We'll definitely look to increase our presence in Nigeria. But one of the things that really gets us going is that in businesses that we're building now, such as the onshore and offshore treasury and global markets business and our digital activities, get layered onto these operations and really provide tremendous operational leverage. So in the markets business, a business that John invented before he joined Atlas Mara at Barclays Africa, and Mike Chryselis, who's running that business for us here, John will take you through some of the things that we're doing in that, but this business is already beginning to grow. It's already got more clients. It already has more revenue, and as it layers into these acquisitions, great operational leverage. Chidi is going to talk about the things we're doing in digital, and I will tell you, before he even gets on, they're real. They're already happening. We're already rolling them out. With that, John, can I turn over to you and Arena?
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Bob. So I'm going to go now to slide 8, and this slide runs through the high-level numbers for the half. Obviously, it was pleasing to reverse the first quarter loss, even if it was partially due to fair value adjustments. The positive features I'd highlight include healthy growth in revenues on a constant currency basis. One of the obvious reasons people buy into the Atlas Mara story is our ability to execute on acquisitions. And I'm also pleased by the organic growth in deposits that on a constant currency basis were up 10%. Going on to slide 9, this slide takes a step back to acknowledge some of the challenges and responses we've had to them in the first half. It's tough out there in a number of our markets, facing these economic headwinds Bob talked about a little bit. Central banks have totally cranked down on money to defend their currencies. But in response to that, we've initiated a bank-wide cost reduction plan that's going to reduce our shared services and central headcount by somewhere between 30 and 35%. That is execution in progress. Continued restructuring at the country level with a focus on delivering the acquisition synergies in Zambia and Rwanda. And we're also executing on detailed revenue plans to improve top-line performance. I closely drive those myself and with members of the senior team on a weekly basis. And all of those are to ensure that the returns get back on track to a path to the 20% ROE. So let me talk a little bit about outlook. As a result of these measures that we're taking, we continue to strive to meet our goal of matching last year's earnings of $11.3 million. We recognize, of course, that the combination of weaker currencies, restructuring costs associated with staff reductions and integration expenses, as well as the continued uncertain economic outlook, those are headwinds. But notwithstanding the environment, I feel good about the levers under our control. Importantly, let me highlight a few of those examples of those, and that takes me to the next slide, slide 10. I'm going to just, there are examples on that slide. I'm just going to talk about one from each country. Very exciting to have launched our mobile banking app called, it is called Mobi, in Botswana in April 2016. In Mozambique, where I spent a week recently, really exciting to see the biggest multinationals in that country coming and doing banking business with us, with Bank ABC, part of Atlas Mara in Mozambique, for the very first time. In Tanzania, congratulations to the team for the award from Visa, where we're the number one bank in online Visa transactions in Tanzania. Zambia, the Farmers Support Program, we are providing the cards for the Zambian government to provide subsidies to farmers at the beginning of the growing season, which they can then go and spend at sellers of seed and other agricultural inputs. In Zimbabwe, we've got a point of sale project that's in the process of being rolled out. That is a traditionally cash-based society, which is rapidly moving to electronic money. And we've got ZimSwitch already turned on, Visa's in the process of certification, MasterCard and China UnionPay will follow, and that's being rolled out nationwide with the first batch of 168 merchants being documented. In Rwanda, I want to talk about two things. I said one per country, but I'm so excited about this, I want to talk about two. We recently rolled out an amazing mobile banking app in Rwanda, and we're seeing great initial results from that. The second thing we're doing there, which is innovative, is lots of folks in Africa buy their electricity for their homes on a prepaid basis, just like you would a mobile phone. And we are integrating with our mobile app an ability for people to top up their electricity prepaid cards with very small, very short-term loans from us that they can then go use at an agent right over that mobile banking app. And that's something we think has tremendous potential once we pilot rollout in Rwanda to extend to other countries. With that, I'm going to hand to Rina to go through the financials.
Thank you, John. Let me start on slide 12 by summarizing the profit and loss in the first 6 months. We reported a profitable first half with improving operational performance in the second quarter relative to the first. Our earnings reflect a $1.2 million after-tax profit and versus the loss of $6.7 million recorded in the first quarter. We benefited from a fair value gain associated with our investment in Nigeria. However, the gains were not only positive. Partially offsetting the $15 million gain were other accounting adjustments, which reduced the net interest income by around $4 million, and other one-off costs in operating expenditure of another $4 million. We were particularly pleased by the improvement in the associate investment line from UBN, in evidencing the strong brand of UBN amidst challenging local market conditions. As a reminder, the impact of the recent devaluation of the Naira did not have much of an impact on the quantum of associated income in the first half because it came so late in June. It might, of course, have more of a dampening impact in the second half. Turning to slide 13 and talking briefly on the segmental figures, our Eastern business was boosted by the benefit of our acquisition in Rwanda at the beginning of the period and with Zambia contributing to the balance sheet of our Southern business at the end of the period. Within the southern region, we have had to contend with difficult economies in both Zambia and Zimbabwe, whereas Botswana has continued to be a strong engine for our business. In the east, we are encouraged by the early momentum from our enlarged business in Rwanda and bringing down the cost-to-income ratio closer towards the group target of 65%. Slide 14 looks at cost of funding. Lowering the cost of funds remains a key objective for the group. There have been market-wide liquidity shortages in a number of our countries of operation, including Mozambique, Tanzania, and Zambia. Notwithstanding these macro headwinds, the improvement in net interest income on a constant currency basis is largely due to a reduction in funding costs, which is proof of the execution of our teams on the ground. The decline in cost of funds from 6.4% in the first quarter of 2016 to 5.9% for the second quarter reflects the group's focus on targeting cheaper transactional deposits and placing less reliance on interbank funding. Our partnership with a number of development finance institutions has also contributed to achievement of this goal. With momentum in operational statistics quite visible, we expect to see our retail business making a greater contribution to net interest income over time, and this will, in turn, support an improvement in net interest margins. As both Bob and John mentioned, we are truly pleased with the performance of our treasury business, growing revenue more than 120% year-on-year and crossing a 1 billion mark in client flow business for the first half, compared with 780 million for the full 2015 year. Slide 15 focuses on costs. I wanted to say a few words on costs. The increase on a constant currency basis was substantial, and this slide breaks down the components of that increase. As can be seen, a large part of that reflects the Rwanda acquisition that happened at the beginning of Q1 and is not included in the year-on-year analysis. Excluding Rwanda and the acquisition of the business there, the year-on-year comparable cost is closer to 18%, which compares with average inflation across our markets of around 7.1%. We were also net investors in people and infrastructure over this period, and we do not take our responsibilities around cost management lightly, but as you've heard from John, we are both investing for the future growth while still aiming to reduce our shared services and central costs by around $8 million on an annualized run rate basis. Slide 16 reflects the credit trends of note. This slide provides a quarterly trend analysis of the quality of our loan book and the risk provisioning in place. The positive trends in both the decrease on the NPL as percentage of the total loan book, coupled with the increasing provision adequacy levels, is evidence of our risk team's continued close monitoring of the loan assets performance. The credit loss ratio at a more normalized level of 1.28% reported is within management's risk appetite given the nature of the business across our markets. We've accounted for recoveries of around $2.7 million in the second quarter that came mostly from Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Rwanda. Turning to slide 17, analyzing our customer asset book, it reflects our consolidated banking business to be relatively well diversified between corporate at 40% and retail at 60%, where the corporate book further reflects a well-diversified loan book across all the markets we operate within, as the graph on the left-hand side shows. And lastly, on capital and liquidity, reviewing the position around country regulatory capital and liquidity ratios, slide 18 graphically confirms that all of our country banks are appropriately capitalized and that the liquidity ratios are in line with regulatory limits. Capital and liquidity positions are closely monitored and is a focus for all management as we navigate the continued macroeconomic headwinds across the African markets to optimize these key resources and grow shareholder value. John, I'd like to hand over to Chidi to take us through some of the digital initiatives now.
Our digital strategy has two parts. The first is what we've called digital transformation, and these are essential initiatives that seek to reposition and transform our banks for the emerging digital financial services landscape. We also have what we call digital reinvention, and these are essential initiatives that seek to reshape and disrupt our industry. Our approach is to first pilot in a country to test, learn, and perfect before rollout across our network. Under the digital transformation initiatives, we have an agency banking pilot program in Tanzania. For the open loop merchant acquiring project, we already have a pilot in Zimbabwe, which has gone very successfully. We also have a next generation corporate internet project that is currently running in Botswana. We have a number of card-based solutions that we've developed for pension board in a number of our countries, which are already in flight and running fairly successfully well. On the digital and reinvention part, that is where we have quite a number of exciting projects that we've already started working on. Digital lending is one of them. There we have two in-flight initiatives, one with a leading telecoms company in Southern Africa, and the second with an electricity utility company in East Africa, where we plan to introduce short-term, high-volume, low-value, high-margin advances to target sectors in those markets. And finally, we have a cross-border transfer initiative working in partnership with HomeSend, which is a member company of the MasterCard Group, that will facilitate cross-border remittances between our countries, enabling remittances and informal trade across those markets. We are very excited about these initiatives, and they are already bringing transformative value to our banks. Thank you.
Chidi, thanks so much. That's such exciting stuff there. You'll hear more about that from us as we go forward. So now I want to say a few more words about our markets business, and that's on slide 23. As Bob mentioned at the top of the call, this is a playbook we know well. We know this business really well. Unfortunately, Mike Christelis, who runs that business for us, can't be with us today because he's on a flight. I'm fortunate enough to know that business really well myself, and so I'll take his place. Allow me to step back a bit in history just to set the scene. When Bob first asked me to move to Africa many years ago, a key part of the assignment was to build the top markets business in Africa, currencies, interest rates, risk management, and we did that very successfully. And Mike Christelis was the guy that I hired to build the non-South Africa part of that business from scratch. Well, Mike is now with Atlas Mara, and we have the pleasure of his talents all over again. In the time that he's been with us, Mike has already engineered a remarkable shift in the treasury and market operations in some of our local markets, in some cases where the capability was completely non-existent. And you can see that through some of the statistics on this slide. Let me highlight just a few. First half revenues in 2016, an increase of 78% year on year. FX trading volumes running at $1 billion half year to date. That was 31% higher than last year. This is client business. And to put an example to that, client growth from 713, this is trading clients, markets clients of 713 at the end of December, to 944 currently, so 231 new markets clients added year to date. Where we see the next big opportunity is in building up our offshore capability. That's something else that we learned during our time in Barclays from 2005 onwards, providing that window to Africa for offshore users of African markets, multinationals, investors. We're going to set that business up here in Dubai to service those clients from here. That's a huge potential business for us. We've done that before. We know that playbook, and we look forward to keeping you updated as we continue to make progress. As I go on to the next couple of slides 25 and 26, that are the share price graphs. I don't want you to think for a second that we are not focused on the share price. We feel it. But we do think it's important also to understand that part of it is the sector. African banks, and particularly those with exposure to Nigeria, have declined. We can't be and haven't been immune to it, and what we have to do and are doing is focusing on outperforming. Operator, with that, be happy to open up the phone lines and go to questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. That is star and one if you wish to ask a question. We don't have any question just yet, but participant, once again, that is star and one if you wish to ask a question.
Operator, if there's no one in the queue, we can end the call there. Is there anyone?
We do have one question, and it comes from the line of Brian Fuller. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks so much for your time and taking this call. I was just referring to page 17 of the deck. You nicely lay out the loan composition by country and by business unit and by sector. Could you speak a little bit further about, if you think about each individual country, how does that differ across whether it's the corporate sectors or just in the business units in general?
Brian, I can give you a little bit of flavor around some of that. So Rwanda today for us is largely a retail business. That's because when we bought BPR and BPR was largely a retail bank, we're working hard on driving corporate banking and markets business there, but today that's largely retail. Botswana is largely a retail business as well. You see there Bank Easy, that's a retail banking product. That is a very significant portion of Botswana's balance sheet. Zambia, Tanzania, Mozambique, more weighted towards corporates, and we'll be looking to broaden out into retail there. You know, we are looking, as we've said before, to have a roughly broad mix of between retail and corporate. And then Zimbabwe is a pretty good balance between the two.
Okay, great, thanks. And then as you mentioned on page 16 that you're seeing pockets of stress in areas like Zambia. The recoveries were strong in Rwanda and Zimbabwe. I guess if you could also kind of take that one level lower, what specific sectors are you seeing stress in? Within Zambia, you said it was largely corporate. Is there a particular area that you're seeing concern or?
Brian, it's mostly Zimbabwe. You know, the Zimbabwean economy, unfortunately, continues to really struggle, and it's the corporate sector there in Zimbabwe. We couldn't say that it's any sector. Really, when you look at Zimbabwe, we have sector-wise, as we do in other countries where we have a significant corporate book, we're pretty well diversified in Zimbabwe in the corporate book, and there's no sector of that economy that is escaping the shrinkage in that economy, unfortunately.
Great. Thanks so much for taking my questions.
Thank you.
That was the last question, Sam.
All right, operator. Well, thanks so much. Thank you to everyone who has called in. We appreciate your time today. We'll look forward to seeing a number of you as we come out and meet with you one-on-one to talk through these results. And in the meantime, we are back off to work building the premier financial institution in Africa. Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.